Mr. Stecker, roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Ms. Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Stolak?
Here.
Mr. Vondrak?
Here. This time we have public participation. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board? Okay, seeing none, we'll go right to presentations, reports, and initiative updates.
We are very excited this evening to have a presentation of our early childhood program, which, as board members know, this is the first year we have a blended program. And so Karen Carlson, joined by Jennifer Long, who is our Director of Student Services, and Stacey Onak, our Assistant Director of Student Services, are here to share a little bit about the program and give you some visual insights into the program. So Karen?
I'm just going to briefly get us started, and then Jen will speak a little bit, and then we're going to go right into the video. And also, Kate McCluskey is connected to the bilingual pre-K program, but she's actually doing a presentation in District 87 tonight. So she could not be here as well. But last year, we shared the results of one of the early childhood subgroup from the special ed program review. At the main meeting last year. And if you recall, one of those recommendations was to pilot a blended program this year. And just as a reminder, the blended program would consist of pre-K at-risk students, early childhood students, and typically developing students. So to kind of highlight the program in general, we thought that the best way to do it would be through video. But before we get started, Jen will share a few things.
It may look like play when you see the classroom in early childhood. If you don't know what you're looking for, it is, they're playing. But we use a state-approved curriculum called Creative Curriculum. And the way it's designed, it's aligned with the Illinois Early Learning Standards. And it integrates the learning standards throughout the 11 interest areas. So you have library, you have blocks, you have sand and water, you have all of those. So the video, I went in with a little flip video, so it's not real professional, it's kind of shaky. I don't have a tripod set up, but I thought, you know, by bringing in the flip video, I could, you know, really get closer, not be, you know, obtrusive, and I didn't want to distract the kids. So it's just video clips of them, and then there's quotes, there's little phrases with quotes, and those are the early learning standards. And there are some phrases without quotes, and those are just little explanations about some of the things we do in special ed that aren't fully the learning standards, but some of the things like test strips and hand over hand. So the video kind of felt like sound, Rory. I apologize for the music because it's the same music in a loop. It's a little old. I still have it in my head. but I guess we should do the video, and at the end, if you have any questions. Thank you. Does everybody want to go into early childhood?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was too much fun. You know, I saw the smart table, and I'm trying to remember, when did we get that?
We bought that with our money. So they were installed. They came in last summer and went into the classroom.
Can you maybe just give a little explanation of what it is?
Yeah.
So people might.
The smart board is, you know, what's up there now, and you can touch it, and it's interactive. Smart boards come in a one-touch or a two-touch thing, so there's a set point, so one or two people can be interacting with it at the same time. A smart table has up to 18 points, so 18 different little hands can be on there, and it comes with all kinds of programs already loaded onto it. So some of the things you saw on there were in the body, and you have to pull the word over that matches the body part. The colors, the thing with the apple in the middle, and they had to take the circle with the right color. The blue circle said red, the red circle said yellow, so that's the little higher level. Some of the other ones are just the color matching. Sometimes they'll have, you can set it up for the individual children, so each one has their own side. And then there's a bunch of letters in the middle, and they have to find the letters for their own name. So, I mean, it just has a lot of capabilities. But they're wonderful. The teachers all went to training, and we had the rep come in and do some training for them. So there's one for each classroom.
I know what we're seeing is, you know, the classroom, and what we're not seeing is how the children come in at the beginning of the year and then the progression.
Right.
So I'm sure that there's significant change from when they first start and in that snow-covered day, right, last in wintertime and to where you are now. So what's the, I know you've talked before about the philosophy behind blended learning. What would you say is the most important takeaway from what you've done this year with it, this experience of almost now finishing up a year?
Well, there are so many great aspects of it. One of the things that the teachers do track is they do progress monitoring constantly. They can do it with video clips. They can do it with just the checklist. They're looking for these skills and in different areas, and then they're documenting those in an online progress monitoring kit that comes with the creative curriculum. You know, when we did the pilot for the test site of the blended for this year, it was really tough because we just went with the two sections. We wanted to start small, and we didn't want to, you know, start out too big and we get over our heads. So we had to do a lottery to decide what children from the early childhood were going to go into the blended. And we had more children, you know, because that only allowed for 10, and we had much more than many more than 10 that we wanted to put in there, and the parents. Anymore. Parents wanted their kids to go in there, but we just, you know, we didn't have the expertise yet really built. So we started small, and Jeannie Neal is one of the blended teachers, and Kenny is the other one who's not here tonight. But their background is special ed, and their background in, you know, the 3 to 5 developmental stages, it's been great for them to know both sides. Kenny was one class is just pre-K, so it's not anybody with an IEP. And then the other two classes are the blended, and then Jeannie has another section of just special ed eligibility. And I mean, maybe they can express some time about the difference. I know in the kids that I've seen, and you know, it's hard to make that comparison because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, did the child grow more because they were with, you know, blended programming, or could the child have grown more if they were? I believe it could. Mm-hmm. You know, that all the research states that, you know, a more inclusive environment, less restrictive, you know, you're going to have peer role models to grow from and model after. So next year we would like to try to move to 4 sections of blended, just because we've just seen such great potential.
Can I add just, if you don't mind, Jeannie, I was going to ask, in terms of your regular ed students who were in this blended classroom, I mean, what was their reaction to, I mean, they're just with different kids? No.
What were the,
I mean,
typical
how,
kids'
yeah.
reactions?
Are typical learners versus, right.
I would say they're friends with everybody just the same as anybody else. But I don't know if you interviewed any of the kids that we would consider typical in any of the blended classes, if they would be able to describe that there were any kids in the class that had special needs.
And I, that's kind of what I was wondering, because I think adults recognize things that kids don't ever see, and so I, you know, questions that we may have gotten as time went on about, you know, how is this working? It's more, it's, I think this type of a classroom, in addition to education and the academic piece, it's about a life skill and learning just about friends. So
it's a great vision. And we have 27 students on the waiting list
for pre-K.
For pre-K coming in. Yeah.
If they're eligible for special ed, they're automatically serviced. And then we have different levels of that as well, because we have like speech only, so if they're only committed for speech needs and some OT, we have the self-contained, and we have the blended.
So where are we in this pilot? I mean, are we next year still piloting, or is this something?
Well, we're looking to expand to four classrooms next year without any additional costs or additional staff to create four classrooms of blended.
So is this, would next year still be considered a research pilot phase, or have we moved to this model?
I'd say we're probably implementing next year. I think we probably will never say it's the only way we will organize our early childhood program, simply because our numbers may impact some of those decisions as time goes on. As you know, we have a bilingual pre-K. At this time, that is not in the blended model. So I think there probably will be some parameters that will dictate whether or not we can have up to six blended classrooms. But certainly, as we can add them and as we can manage them, that certainly would be our goal.
So, I mean, essentially, we're going to move forward with this model similar to a model we have in our regular grades, right? But we're going to move to this. I noticed the first slide was like four different subgroups, and I know you're trying to clarify, are we going to call it one thing? Is it going to be blended program?
Yeah, that's really good. In school districts where the early childhood program is totally blended, mm-hmm. it's simply called early childhood.
Right.
In our district, we've made a distinction between early childhood, which has been identified as special needs children, pre-K at risk, which has been our students that have been identified as risk factors, and we've never offered a preschool program for typically developing students. So if we can move to a full blended, I think we would call it our early childhood program.
I don't know, it just seemed to me, and maybe I'm imagining mm-hmm. it, but it seemed there might be a little stigma with all these mm-hmm. little labels. It might just be better to call it preschool.
What the kids are, you're in Ms. Neal's class, you're in Ms. Carson's class, you're in Ms. Leslie's class. We don't, as far as the children know, they don't know if they're in a blended or a self-contained.
Yeah.
But there are some students that, benefit from being in a self-contained environment, because having 20 kids as opposed to, 7 or 8 is going to be,
too much
for them. Too much
stimulus,
so their needs are more intensive.
Yeah, just, even the communication to us, it was different subgroups, maybe mm-hmm. that'd be something to think about. Mm-hmm. It's just,
For us, to keep it straight, to know, kind of from a grant perspective, and, it is a lot of kind of different groups, but it helps us kind of know kind of what group of kids we're talking to or about at the time.
Right? It has to do with grants, it has to do with certification of teachers.
I also noticed that the first picture was, besides the suburbs, was the bus. And do all these kids come by bus, or are they?
They're eligible.
And we have two bus systems as well. We've got the buses we've got some of the preschools in the area, like Kinder Care, they have their own bus. But then we have the first student buses. And then we have SEPTRAN, which is our special needs bus.
And I would assume, again, it's an assumption, not being in the field, but that the level of engagement from parents is important at this age, and we've heard about level of engagement of parents in different types of situations. What is it here? Is it in terms of parent engagement?
We offer throughout the year, we have early childhood parent nights, we have programs where we have staff that do development with them, we have materials in a learner library, we have the safety we've just got the pre-K. Kind of pre-K parent night and potluck dinner and music program, and we don't have the final count, but we ran out of plates, we ran out of forks.
So it's well attended. It's like we have parent-teacher conferences and mm-hmm. some parents don't show up. But this is a very active, involved group that.
Well, and I think our staff, we have staff who are here, but probably attest to that as well, that their contact with parents is frequent and intense.
Do a lot of outreach mm-hmm. because the parents are looking for it and get suggestions.
And do we do anything with the parents? I mean, outside of these the banks, I mean, do we work with them on, you know, what they can do to be helping? Is there...
There's a component to the at-risk program where we have parent liaisons, parent coordinators that work with parents, do home visits, and the nice thing about the blended program is that you're also touching base with the parents whose kids have IEPs as well. And for the self-contained only programs, the teachers are in contact with parents continually through email, phone call, updating what can be supporting at home with what's going on. So there's continuous guidance.
For instance, if a child needs speech or OT services, the OT or speech path will have a, like, sometimes do a weekly note about what toddler is progressing and here's some things you can work on at home. They sit on the resource. We have a speech path and an OT in the audience there. Part of the program too, so, and they're very involved with the families.
Is the IEP in this at this age? Is it a fairly simple process, or is it complicated and involves?
We get our children usually one of two ways. One, they're in the early intervention program through the state, where in birth to three, the county takes care. That's the fund B from the federal money. And that birth to 3 years old. When they turn three on their third birthday, they become the school building's responsibility. So between 2 years and 6 months and three, we're doing evaluations. We're determining if there's a level of need that's still going to carry over to three-year-olds. And then if they qualify, it's a 20% discrepancy from their peers in two or more areas or a 40% discrepancy in one area. So depending on what the need is. And sometimes it might just be a speech need. It could be pragmatic, it could be articulation, and if that's the case, then they might just do a speech-only program with our speech-only person.
It's good to see that the kids come together like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for giving up some time tonight.
Appreciate it. Next up.
Okay, next on the agenda, we have action items. First up is the consent agenda. Are there any items the board would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay. Yes. Okay, hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes the Human Resources Personnel Report, employment recommendations, and we've also added leave requests in the blue sheet that was handed out before the meeting. And also resignations. In other matters, we have the board meeting minutes from April 18, 2011, the Special Finance Committee of the Whole, the April 18, 2011 regular meeting and closed session minutes, and the April 18, 2011 reconvened meet, and the April 18, 2011 reconvened meeting, April 20, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I have a motion.
Motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, roll call.
Excuse me. Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Von Graff?
Yes. Next up, our superintendent.
You missed me. I'm not gone yet.
It's strictly a type of
work. Lie. Yes.
Collect.
Yeah.
No, right on top.
Okay. Next up are the superintendent's recommendations. It's April 18, 2011 regular meeting. The board discussed the following matters. First up, we have the copy machine RFP results. The administration's recommendation to accept the lowest bid, the lowest of 12 bids from Chicago Office Technology Group for a 3-year copier equipment lease for 19 units. At an annual cost of $54,133.92 and an estimated annual service and toner cost of $42,621.97. The total annual cost is $96,755.89. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Second. Before you have some discussion on this, I just want to note on the blue sheet that there is a difference between your original proposal. When we received the bids, the final documents and working through the copier, There was a slight difference between the actual machinery and the savings that we would garner in the consumables. So you'll see that there's a slight difference between what we said originally would be about a $20,000 cost saving to what's now going to be about an $1,800 cost saving. So there was a minor change in that, but still yielding us a significant savings over the course of the time. So I think we might want to reread the motion off the blue sheet.
Oh.
Because it gives the accurate numbers.
You said that there was a change in the equipment. You don't mean...
Not in the specification. No, not in the specifications.
Did you just say 1,800 or 1,000?
I'm sorry.
About
$1,800.
1,800?
Yes.
No. When the changes came back, instead of receiving about $20,500 in savings, this new proposal will yield $18,700.
Right. Which is a difference from about
$1,800.
Which is a difference about $1,800. Did I miss that?
No, you got it right. I looked at the $18,000 and said,
what is the okay, so to reread the motion, the administration recommends approval of the copier bid proposal from Chicago Office Technology Group for a 36-month copier equipment lease in the amount of $295,687.15. Annual equipment lease cost is $61,661.52, and the estimated annual service slash consumable costs are $36,900.86. The total estimated annual lease cost is $98,562.36. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Kenwood?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, next up we have the transportation bid results, which were highlighted in the paper this week, last week.
Prior to our approval.
Yes. Districts 41, 89, 87, and 16 collaborated to go out for a bid for transportation services as a larger combined entity to see if that approach might yield economies of scale. The administration is recommending that the board accept the low bid of $1,810,506.90 from Illinois Central School Bus LLC for a 3-year contract. Each district will have its own contract with Illinois Central. The cost difference for District 41 between Illinois Central's low bid and the second lowest bid from First Student is $1,285,866.27 over the 3 years. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. Did First Student come back or talk to us? And they just submitted the bid, lost, and just walked away? I mean, they've been our partner for how many years?
Oh, gosh, I don't really know how many years, but at least 5. I think we had a renewed bid when I came here 5 years ago, so probably at least 7 years.
I'm just disappointed is anyone here from First Student? Mm-hmm. Just disappointing that they didn't even, just got a bid, lost.
Well, it's not like they can submit a bid.
They lost
the
bid.
It's disappointing when you've been a partner 5 years. Mm-hmm. And this is probably a really off-the-wall question, but... is there anything about retaining some of the employees that were drivers? Is anything like that being considered?
It could be if there are drivers that are released from First Student as a result of this, that they would interview and hire those drivers. But there's nothing in the agreement because we really don't know whether or not First Student would be.
Typically that happens or doesn't happen.
It often happens when there's that sort of thing, but... I'd say the closest thing I could compare that to would be the food service. If there are Aramark employees who would like to work for District 16 as they hire people when we change over our food service, that may very likely occur.
And I think Illinois Central didn't have a depot here, right?
That's correct.
And there's no risk of them not being able to put a depot.
That's part of their commitment to the consortia of all the districts within the first year that they would have a home base here.
So they've got a year to do that. Mm-hmm. They don't need to do that the first year that they implement. And I guess if they don't do it, then we've got plenty of time to go somewhere else because they might.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I'd just like to thank Bob and the staff and the district for spearheading the effort to bring the consortium together.
Yes.
Despite what we may have heard otherwise.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and kudos. It was great to see that editorial piece in the paper with giving us an A for fiscal responsibility. So thank you, Bob and Phyllis and your team.
Okay, roll call, please, Mrs. Stecker.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes. Okay, next up we have Hadley Computer Refresh, the administration's technology proposal to refresh equipment at Hadley. The administration is recommending that the board approve its proposal to purchase wireless access equipment for $3,250. It also recommending two leases for the remaining equipment from Heartland Business Systems, a five-year dollar buyout lease for 160 desktops and 30 carts, and a three-year fair market lease for 500 netbooks. The annual cost of both leases is $131,355.75, with a total end-of-lease cost of $476,526.91. The interest cost of the leases is $281.81, which is less than what it would cost to dispose of the equipment. So, may I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moving second. Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes. Okay, fourth, we have Employee Dental Benefit Program. The administration's recommendation to move the district's self-funded employee dental benefit plan that is administered by Blue Cross Blue Shield to fully funded MetLife plan effective July 1st, 2011 through the Educational Benefits Cooperative, which has provided the employee BCBS health plan since 2010. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Nice to see a reduction in the cost, Lori. I know it's a lot more work than what shows up on paper, so it's nice that we can reduce that compared to our rates from last year.
Okay, roll call, please, Mrs. Stucker.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes. Okay, fifth, we have the Jostens Publication Agreement renewal for the Hadley Yearbook for 2011-12. The administration's recommendation to renew its contract with Jostens Publishing for the 2011-12 yearbook for $14.13 per book, which is a pass-through to the students.
Correct.
May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Motion. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, roll call please, Mrs. Stecker.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Solak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, last we have the Hadley Courtyard Project bid results. The administration's recommendation for board approval of the Hadley Courtyard bid from Light Construction in the amount of $207,082 to redevelop the Hadley Courtyard. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second. Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I just want to put on record an email that I did receive. It actually went to myself and Drew and Dan from a parent and community member who knows us from other school experiences, et cetera, so that's why she shared it with us. I did respond back to her and copied Dan and Drew, and I did forward it to Ann and Steve so that they would have that information as well. And it was a series of really very good questions that we've talked about and offered to talk with her. I got this email on Friday the 29th of April. I haven't heard back from her, but I will continue to reach out, and Ann also offered to speak with her as well. So Just wanted folks to know that that was in the mix. And I don't know if Dan or Drew, did you hear anything back from her?
I did not.
No? Okay. So, anyway, we'll continue to reach out to her as well.
There's one other thing. There's a page that talks about possible usage and utilization of the kind of courtyard. This is something that Pam put together, which I think is important that you may mention.
Well, from I know this has been on the discussion for us for a while. This isn't something that just came up a month or two ago. This is something that for years I know people have tried to bring forth and make some changes at having in the courtyard. And if I remember correctly, you know, the initial project that was brought to us was very limited. And I believe it was Mr. Kenwood who even sent, I don't want to say sent you back, but I mean asked, couldn't we do more for this project? What would be a better use of this space? And, you know, Bob and Phyllis and a team of teachers at Hadley really worked with our architects to come up with a better use of this space. So, you know, I this has been something that, you know, has been in the works for quite some time. When I talked a little bit about it, when I reviewed this again, because it does seem like a big expenditure for something, I also thought about it in terms of our space and thinking outside the box for how we use our space and opportunities with our curriculum. And, you know, I know a comment was made about the limited use time that we could use a courtyard like this. And it made me think about our playgrounds that are used all year round. I think Steve and I kind of talked about it, and it's true. I mean, it's how creative our staff use it. And I think that's, I just think that this is such an asset to our buildings and to our students.
It's certainly aligned with the master facilities plan and some of the site recommendations that were made for short-term as well as long-term, looking at outdoor spaces and how they might be incorporated into our facilities for better use.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure if I'm the one that sent the group back, could have been, because I usually throw out some ideas, but I'll be voting no, and it's not, I was a part of the board that said go out and let's see what it is we could do and how we could have a better plan for that space as opposed to, you know, just cleaning it up. And, you know, I love the concept. I understand how environments help classrooms. I just think that right now it's kind of a nice to have and not something we necessarily have to have. A lot of the, in my last meeting I asked about curriculum changes. There really aren't really any, so to speak. There's opportunities for environments, but the things we're doing in the classrooms today, we'll be moving outside, and while that's certainly a better way of doing it, you know, it's still the same soil and water things that we're doing. So again, for me, I appreciate that you guys went out there, looked at a plan. Don't know if I'm the one that originated it. I was certainly someone who said let's do it. I just feel it's a nice to have right now, and that we don't need to do it. So I just want to let you guys know that.
Yeah, I'm back on this $50,000 project. I know I had said that I felt it was a nice to have, not a need to have, and so it seems to, in my opinion, have grown quite significantly from there. You know, just in hearing from some of the letter that we got, some of the expenditures on here, I was a little concerned, especially without some concrete curriculum changes. You know, I'm not opposed to spending money, but I prefer to see something that has a higher possibility of usage throughout the school year. I think I've thrown out some ideas on that. And so that's pretty much where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I went back over the minutes and pulled them out from the last conversations, and back on February 7th, the estimate that was at least in the minutes was at $190,000. So it's gone up another, $17,000. In part, I know, Bob, you talked about the village and the cost of the water. We can't get out of doing stormwater, and, you know, we have to do it, and that's $30,000. I guess that's, I would agree with you, Dan. I think when we look at dollars, it's disappointing to have to spend $30,000 on that piece, but it's a requirement, so we have to follow through. I guess what I would say in response to some of that is, you know, the parent's email certainly gave me pause. I have read it over a few times. I did write back to her and start to respond, and then, you know, said, let's have a conversation. This is too long an email to send back. But there are two things I think that I'm in support of this project about, and did talk to Ann about this and Bob. And one is the whole idea that we had a community committee come together in the master facility plan and talk very much about how do we bring the outside in, how do we, especially at Hadley where we're kind of bursting at the seams, utilize space that's available but not accessible, I guess is the way I would put it. And so I think this project tries to find a middle ground to that. And I'm not suggesting that $200,000 is not a significant amount of money. It's a part of our capital expenditure budget. Bob and Phyllis have come to us to say, here's what we're looking at as not needed right now, and then these other dollars can be freed up to do some of this. So I think as I look at this, it affects a couple of things, not the least of which is this conversation we've had over the last couple of years to try and figure out how do we access space that's there but not accessible. And the other piece of this, and I talked a little bit to Drew about this before the meeting, I think this is helpful to see some of this in writing. I mean, the science curriculum as it's laid out is what Ms. Jewison and Mrs. Sabara had shared with us in some conversations about their curriculum, and that it's an all-out and this kind of ongoing soil study, plans, et cetera. But I think the other thing is, until you have the resource, and I, you know, again, like John said, we're not education experts, but just my experience of kind of watching this over the last 4 years at least, is that until you have the resource, like a smart table or smart board or those kind of things, you can't know exactly how that can be utilized. We need to have, as a board, a set of expectations on how it's going to be used. And I think that we respect our teachers enough to know that they would not take this lightly and would really work at how to build that curriculum in. But I think you can't always know what you have until it's out there. And that we have a very creative staff and certainly very creative students, and I'm thinking the Environmental Club, who would take this on like demons to be able to figure out how to use some of this. So I'm really thinking of this from the perspective of seeing something concrete, certainly, and having had that conversation, and then also looking at a school that's very tight. And a space that we all walk by anytime we're in that building and look out and see it completely unutilized. So I think the value of that and the return on that investment as we get into using it would outweigh the cost right now.
Just a question about that. Maybe I'm not following numbers, but I thought when we talked today, this didn't start off at 170, right? Didn't this initially start off with clean it up for 50?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't 170.
No, I'm saying it's a fine estimate.
Yeah, I'm giving the whole history, mm-hmm. not just the history starting at the 170. Mm-hmm.
No.
I recognize that, John. It started at 50, and
then,
right.
then it went to the 170, and then the village came back, and then that's how it got to the
200. Right, sorry. Yeah.
What we thought would be adequate storage for the water was
right.
not.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was a fast mm-hmm. And also just want to reiterate that my decision is not about, not that it was said that way, but it's not about not having respect for, I mean, I can understand teachers and wanting this environment mm-hmm. and would love to give it to them. I just don't think it's the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other discussion?
No.
Okay, roll call please, Mrs. Stucker.
Mr. Stolak?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Kenworth?
No.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes. Okay, we have no discussion items for today. Our upcoming meetings are May 16th, 2011 at 7:30, a regular meeting here. June 6th, 2011 at 7:30, a regular meeting here in Central Services. And then again, June 20th at 7:30, another regular meeting here at CSO. So, at this time, we have retiring board member recognition right here. Bob gets the spotlight all to himself tonight. And on behalf of the board administration, I'd like to read aloud a resolution honoring board member Bob Stolak. Oh. So,
I'd also like to note for board members, you have a folder at your table that outlines the procedures that you'll be following from this point forward, in case you didn't bring yours with you from home.
So, a resolution in recognition of Bob Solak, whereas that Mr. Solak has served Glen Ellyn District 40, number 41 as a member of the Board of Education since 2009, and whereas he has provided a steadfast commitment and to improving the education of children and to maintaining excellent learning facilities, whereas Mr. Solak has led by example as a reflective and thoughtful member of this Board of Education and has put the needs of students first in his decision making, whereas he has demonstrated his investment in this district by careful preparation, his leadership in the master facility plan, and participation in each meeting, whereas he has participated in the development of a long-range plan guided by learner characteristics and has supported the implementation of new curricula, whereas he has maintained a constant focus on what's in the best interest of our students through his unwavering advocacy for the school district, I therefore let it be resolved that the members of the Board of Education recognize and thank Mr. Bob Solak for the sacrifice of family and personal time and for his outstanding service to the children and community of Glen Ellyn School District Number 41. Resolved this second day of May 2011 by the Glen Ellyn School District 41 Board of Education. There's a nice plaque. You can put up at home. And board members that would like to have any parting comments for Bob before he gets the floor.
Is this a roast?
No.
No,
not a roast.
Well, I did say to Bob that we're going to send out an email so we can have a little gathering at Ellen's. That seems to be our place of choice. And he did say he would bring his wife.
Just to prove she exists.
Just to prove she exists. So we will plan that. So look for that email. And I just want to say that 4 years ago when we ran together, you and Steve and I, it seemed like it would be a very long 4 years, and it's been, I think, an incredibly short 4 years in many ways. And I want to thank you for just your engagement and your willingness to talk and discuss and put your ideas out there and really be a part of making this district better than it was 4 years ago.
Thank you.
So thank you.
I'll thank you later.
Thanks, Jeff.
I don't know what that means.
Thanks.
Good or bad?
Just thanks, Bob. Thanks for your service. I know when I was running 2 years ago, you were the only one I knew on the board, and so everyone else was pretty scared. You answered a few questions about all those documents you got to turn in. So I appreciate your help at that point and your service on this board.
He gave you good guidance on doing the IASB
done. Yes. Thank you for that spreadsheet.
Well, I want to thank you, too. I've been sitting next to you for the past 2 years, and it's always funny to, Bob, what is this? And a little head nod, and I feel like I get your cues without you saying anything, even after 2 years. But even though at times we have agreed to disagree, we've always done so very respectfully. I feel like I got to know you, especially the past 2 years, sitting next to you as a person, and your passion for your kids and your passion for all of the kids of this district. And again, I thank you because you've really made a difference.
You know, Bob, I want to miss you from the Finance Committee. You're creating quite a hole, and you will certainly be missed.
Yeah, I just want to add everything in the resolution. I think, sincerely, you deserve what's said in there. I think you've done a great job. I know we ran together 4 years ago, and I think you've added a lot of good debates about things we've done here on the board, and I think you've earned the respect of the fellow board members and the administration and the community. So enjoy your Monday nights.
All right. And come back and visit.
And Bob, we also have a gift for you in appreciation for the work that you've done. And I don't know that I could add much more to what everyone has said other than I have certainly appreciated your deep thinking, your analysis, your great questions, and your ability to always stay even keeled and rational, even in some of our most intense debates. So this is a plaque in appreciation for your work. I know you'll want to display that prominently in your home. And here's the box in case you want to take it home so it doesn't get scratched. In addition, we also have a gift which we'll let you open either here or in some of your family. It is it's a commemorative bowl, actually, that makes note of your contribution and your focus on children. So thank you very much. We're going to miss you.
Put your party nuts in there for Monday Night Football.
All right, I will.
Do you have any words of wisdom for us?
Words of wisdom? No. I don't know if I've ever had words of wisdom here. I just want to thank all the board members here. As people alluded to, even when we disagree on things, it's a great group of people to disagree with. There's no, you never have any feelings of animosity. There's no drama. Or butting of heads, which can sometimes happen on public boards. And I want to thank everybody for their service. 4 years ago, unfortunately, Sam, you never know what you're getting into sometimes. one thing you get over 4 years is an appreciation of the amount of time put in by, you know, unpaid volunteer members. And it's really people... that are in front of you here that that make local government a possibility and local control of our school districts. So, and I'd like to thank Ann and her staff, her administrative staff. I'm always amazed by the professionalism, and I'm really appreciative of the sort of this professional learning environment that we have and the infrastructure that's been instilled here for change. How to manage, how to generate change, how to vet it, and how to hop on board with it at all levels of the organization. And I really think this district's in a great spot with the infrastructure and the processes that we have in place. Sometimes up at the board, it seems like a really slow process for some things, but it's really, I think, that process that makes it happen in a way that's sustainable. Throughout the for the district staff as well, there's a real buy-in to what gets done here, and there's also not infrastructure but processes to keep our curricula current and not get stale, and also to push it out so that every kid in every classroom around the district is really seeing the same curricula. It's not, I had so-and-so, so I had a totally different year than the teacher over in that other school. The curriculum is really spread out across the district nicely. So I really like to thank Ann and her staff for all the hard work that they do and the professionalism that they exhibit every day. And good luck, people.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. So at this time, then, we will have acceptance of the DuPage County Election Authority's canvass of votes for the April 5th, 2011 election. I would like to recommend that the Board of Education accept the DuPage County Election Authority's canvass of votes of April 5th, 2011 consolidated election. We have a motion to approve the canvass.
Motion. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of accepting the canvass?
Aye.
All right. The ayes have it. And then next up, we're going to have Bob do one more thing for us. He's going to help administer the oath of office for the newly elected board members, which will be Sam Black, and then also for Erica, John, and myself, who will renew our oath of office.
Here is your oath, so you don't have to memorize it.
We all stand together?
Yes, you should all stand.
Mm-hmm. They need to raise the right hand?
I don't think so.
Would you like us to, Bob? You can raise yours, Jack. Okay, I will now swear in the newly elected members of the school board. Please repeat after me. I state your name.
I state Erica.
Do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of member of the Board of Education of Glen Ellyn District 41,
In accordance with the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and the laws of the State of Illinois, to the best of my ability.
Do solemnly swear that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of member of the Board of Education of Glen Ellyn District 41, in accordance with the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and the laws of the State of Illinois, to the best of my ability.
I further swear or affirm that I shall respect taxpayer interests by serving as a faithful protector of the school district's assets. I shall encourage and respect the free expression of opinion by my fellow board members and others who seek a hearing before the board while respecting the privacy of students and employees.
I shall encourage and respect the free expression of opinion by my fellow board members and others who seek a hearing before the board while respecting the privacy of students and employees.
I shall recognize that a board member has no legal authority as an individual and that decisions can be made only by a majority vote at a public board meeting.
I shall recognize that a board member has no legal authority as an individual and that decisions can be made only by a majority vote at a public board meeting.
And I shall abide by majority decisions of the board while retaining the right to seek changes in such decisions through ethical and constructive channels.
And I shall abide by majority decisions of the board while retaining the right to seek changes in such decisions through ethical and constructive channels.
And I shall abide by the Glen Ellyn School District 41 Code of Conduct.
No problem. Okay. I would like to now call for nominations for the new board for the office of president of the Board of Education.
I nominate Erica Nelson.
I'd like to second the nomination.
I will nominate Dan Smith. I'll second myself.
Okay.
Are
there any other nominations? Okay, hearing none, let's see. Would any of the nominees like to make an opportunity, would like to make a statement at this time, a brief statement? Other than what?
Over the past 2 years, I have supported the board work as a member of the policy committee and as a district delegate to the IASB annual meeting. Looking forward to the challenging tasks we have at hand in the next 2 years, specifically with regards to our negotiations with our unions and the selection of a replacement for Dr. Reebok when she retires. I would like to support this board work in a leadership role. If you feel I am the person for this position, then I ask for your vote. Thank you.
I'd like to reiterate what I put out in our the statement of interest that I sent out probably a couple weeks ago now. And that is, over the past 4 years, I have seen an incredibly professional board come together. Much of what Bob shared tonight, I would echo in verbatim. And I see the role of board president as one that helps to guide discussion, build coalition, help to vet issues, you know, be a part of the conversation in a way that really helps to seek clarity. And I think that I'm prepared to do that. In addition to that, I echo what Dan is saying. This board has, over the next 2 years in particular, but certainly the next four that many of us are serving, some significant decisions to make, and would be proud to help organize that and be a voice for those changes. So again, to Dan's point, if you believe that I can do that, then I would welcome your support.
Okay. Okay. So now we will. I will ask Maureen or Mrs. Stecker for a roll call vote for the office of president. And so you are voting for the nominees, which are either Erica Nelson or Dan Smith Jr. So you will state the name of the person that you will be electing your choice for president when Ms. Stecker calls your name. Will you please call the roll?
Mr. Black.
State the name of the person.
Oh, welcome.
I will support Mrs. Nelson.
Mr. Ellis.
I support Erica.
Mr. Smith.
Dan Smith.
Mr. Kenwood.
Dan Smith, Jr.
Mrs. Nelson.
Erica Nelson.
Mrs. Power.
Erica Nelson.
Mr. Von
Drift. Erica Nelson. Okay, so we had a 5-2 vote, so Erica is our new board president for the next 2 years.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you again. So, it's now time to assume the gavel. My work is done.
If before we make that official switch, I would like to take just a moment to thank Steve for his board leadership over the last 2 years. And as you have all talked about, both Dan and Erica, about moving the district forward and taking the opportunity during very difficult times ahead, I think Steve has offered a quiet, steady leadership for the district and brought the board together under many complex issues, not the least of which has been the master facilities work that we've done. And Steve has been a committed ambassador for the district. He has, I think, done a great job of reaching out to each of you to seek your input, seek questions, seek answers, and has always continually kept me in the loop and apprised and worked as a partner with me. And so, Steve, thank you so much for your services.
You're welcome. I enjoyed serving with you and your staff.
Thank you.
At this point, I'd like to call for nominations for the office of Vice President.
I'd like to nominate Hugh Ellis.
Second.
I'd like to nominate John Kenwood.
Second.
Any other nominations? I, again, want to offer an opportunity to make a statement in terms of before the election.
Since I've been on the board, I've seen a lot of things coalesce in terms of this board and the work that this board has done in terms of master facilities, in terms of finance, and being part of that, I wanted to step up my work on the board and assume leadership positions. I think my work in finance is kind of a demonstration of my commitment to what I want to accomplish.
Okay.
I'm John Kenwood, and I'm running for vice president. I believe I've got the experience. I've got a little broader experience with my 5 or 6 years on the board in terms of being on the finance committee, master facilities, vision, LLC. I've been vice president before, and I can run a meeting. I've had that experience as well. You all know I like to lead the Pledge of Allegiance, and I can do that well also as a vice president. I believe when Tara and I worked together, when she was president and I was vice president, we worked well together in terms of we both talked about whatever the issues were. It wasn't, you know, just one face to the board. I mean, we both really worked well together. And, you know, I feel like I have ideas, and I would enjoy working with Erica as vice president and driving the things that we have to do moving forward. I've been part of a superintendent search before. I've been part of the contract negotiations as well. I think that I could be an asset to the board in terms of that.
Thank you.
But I know you guys have made your decision.
Okay, any other comments? Thank you. Mrs. Stecker, will you call the roll? And again, as your name is called, please state the name of the candidate that you're choosing for election.
Mr. Ellis.
Drew Ellis.
Mr. Smith.
John Kenwood.
Mr. Kenwood.
John Kenwood.
Mrs. Nelson.
Drew Ellis.
Mrs. Howard.
Drew Ellis.
Mr. Black.
John Kenwood.
Mr. Vondrack.
Drew Ellis.
So there are four votes for Drew Ellis. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So Drew Ellis will be our new vice president. Congratulations.
Sure.
Yeah. The final switch. Thank you, Nancy. Goodbye, Sam. Bye, Mrs. Black.
Bye.
Thank you for coming.
Our final position is the role of board secretary. And again, we'll follow the same procedure. If we have nominations for the role of board secretary, please announce those.
I'd like to nominate Chair Howard.
Second.
Any other nominations? Right. Tara, you accept?
I accept.
We will call for a unanimous vote, Mrs. Stecker. All in favor? Enter. Yeah. Aye. All in favor? Aye. Congratulations, Tara.
Thank you. Enter.
All right. We received in our packet the school board calendar, so I'd like to, may I have a motion to approve the 2011-2012 school board calendar as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, in other business, we need to designate our banks of depository for district funds, which is a typical reorganization. We have a motion to affirm the designation of the following banks of depository.
I want to recuse myself as I am as a officer in a board of the banks.
All right. The record state that Drew Ellis has recused himself from the vote as a member, employee of one of the banks on the list. Thank you. First one is MB Financial, Glen Ellen Bank and Trust, U.S. Bank, Community Bank Wheaton, Glen Ellen, Bank of America, Illinois Funds, which is the IPTIP, and the ISD LAF or our PMA. They have a motion to... and a second to a vote on that list.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. A roll call, please.
Can I, is there a discussion?
I'm sorry, discussion?
Is there anybody on this board that works for any of these banks?
Drew. He just recused himself from the vote.
Do we need to be concerned about that?
No. And we don't do business with all of these banks. At any given time. These are just the list of approved banks.
So there's no rule or perceived...
Conflict of interest. Thank you. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrack?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. At this point, I would like to have us affirm the Board of Education Code of Conduct. It's in our beige file at our seats, if we can take that out. I will read the Code of Conduct aloud and ask that all board members affirm the board code of conduct and sign the document prior to departing for the evening. I will send my copy down here so our signatures are all on one copy. Is there one?
So we don't have to sign this, right?
No. Keep one. Okay, great. Glen Ellyn School District 41 Board of Education Code of Conduct. Number one, I shall focus first on the primary work of the board, which is to develop policy to clarify the district's vision, purpose, mission, values, objectives, and priorities. Number two, I shall represent all school district constituents honestly and equally and refuse to surrender my responsibilities to special interest or partisan groups. Number three, I shall avoid any conflicts of interest or the appearance of impropriety which could result from my position and shall not use my board membership for personal gain or publicity. Number four, I shall recognize that a board member has no legal authority as an individual and that decisions can be made only by a majority vote at a board meeting. Number five, I shall abide by majority decisions of the board while retaining the right to seek changes in such decisions through ethical and constructive channels. Number six, I shall be involved and knowledgeable about not only local educational concerns, but also about state and national issues. Number seven, I shall prepare for all board meetings by reading and understanding the board packet in advance of board meetings. Number eight, I shall be aware of and abide by procedural process, Robert's Rule of Order, of a board meeting. Number nine, I shall commit myself to stand by this code of conduct, to speak with one voice in concert with fellow board members, to maintain a positive culture and orderly decision-making process, and to do my board work openly. Number 10, I shall recognize the following, that the relationship with the student superintendent and any individual board member is collegial and not hierarchical, that the superintendent is accountable only to the full board, that I will refrain from advising staff members in operational areas. And number 11, I shall represent Glen Ellyn, Wheaton, Carroll Stream, Lombard, and Glendale Heights in a professional, respectful manner in all business of the Board of Education and communicate in a courteous, honest manner. Very much. And at this, to accept it. May I have a motion and a second to affirm the Board of Education Code of Conduct as presented?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? And roll call, please.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellen?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenlin?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
At this point, we also need to adopt the existing Board of Education policies, sections 1 through 8. May I have a motion to adopt the existing Board of Education policies, section 1 to 8? And a second?
Second.
I'm sorry, motion?
Motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion on board policies?
This is reaffirmation.
Mm-hmm. It's reaffirming our policy, yeah.
It's procedural.
And roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yep.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Finally, the affirmation of the treasurer's appointment, which is Robert Bob Cicerella. The official reappointment of Bob Cicerella will occur in June. May I have a motion to affirm Mr. Cicerella's role as the official treasurer of District 41?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion?
Can we call him Bob and not Robert?
Yes. We had the formal and now the informal. Absolutely.
Now, when we say Bob, we know it's Bob.
Which Bob? Bob S. Bob, yeah. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yep.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr.
Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Our next bit of business is our board committee and liaison representatives. These committee assignments appointments will be made at the May 16th meeting. But in the interim, Sam, Mr. Black has been slated to fill the vacancy for Bob Solak and attend the remaining PTA meetings for Franklin. So I think that's been forwarded to you already.
It
so
has.
Great. And then I believe what we've done in the past, which makes some sense, is to have folks email me about their interest in what committee they want to serve on and get those to me before May 16th so we can have that conversation and also affirm that at the meeting.
And can I just bring up, it's also the liaison reps, and I was in CERC this past month, and it was sort of interesting. I know CERC's been a little discombobulated, I think, this year in terms of having more formal meetings, but they didn't want me to make a report. I mean, they looked at me like I had three heads when I, you know, ran in the door to make a report, and they said nobody makes a report. And I think it's definitely a new group of parents as part of CERC. And I know we talk about it every time about do we need to have a board member at every PTA meeting, and I'm just putting that out there as something that you may want to talk about. We may want to think about, is it something we can do quarterly? Some parents, if you're a parent, you may attend the one at your school anyway. But I would reach out to CERC at a minimum and ask if they want somebody there, because I know Jen's always there, and we. It's just one of those things where we're out. It's just an assignment, and if they don't want us there, we have a pretty big time commitment. And I don't want to come off as I don't want to go. I just to be respectful of our time.
Good question. Yeah. I think for the most part, because I had CERC the time
right
before you. So my experience with going to CERC is that it's there for really us to gain insight on what's going on in the district, and it's more information sharing for us to be able to bring back. But I will certainly call the co-chairs and get there.
Or at least ask if they want a recap, because we get the board highlights mailed out and other things.
Right.
It's more, I'm here to listen if there's something you want to ask me about,
right,
but not read the board highlights.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe it's a PTA. I mean, maybe it's top bringing it to PTA council, and well, I don't remember who's on PTA council this last group, but
Dan.
But to talk at PTA council about, do they want to have a board member there? I mean, I know often, is just having a board member at PTA council enough? I know we're going to be doing some, reaching out with different with facility issues, but again, that's something that we'll talk about when it comes to that. But again, we put in a very big time commitment, and if the PTA doesn't see the value of us there, I would like us to be able to.
Maybe more so at the initial PTA versus the executive council, because you would. Julie already there, or versus at those meetings.
Right, and I do think that the individual PTAs welcome us being there, and typically ask some pretty direct questions about what's going on. So, I made a note about that. So I think it's worth having a conversation about. So we'll check with CERC, and then also I'll talk to PTA Council.
And I would just remind board members that in the packet that you receive from me with the memo, first memo, at the back of that packet are all of the committee assignments, so that you can express interest in what you want to serve on to Erica, with the exception of CIT, which is the role of the board president.
Mm-hmm.
So does a board member have to serve on a committee? Can a board member say, I have no interest in serving on a committee?
I think that's something to consider. We have to look at if there are.
That's possible, right? Mm-hmm.
That's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
When do you want this email by?
Before the 16th, so that we can kind of see how, where the interest lies, and if it's heavy on one side versus the other, then we can have that conversation on the 16th. Great. Thank you. At this point, are there any members of the public who wish to address the board? All right, hearing none, we will go to adjournment. If there's no other business to come before the board, may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Okay. Welcome, Sam.